So if you have your Bibles with you or an electronic device that pulls up the Bible, I invite you to turn now to the very last book of the Bible, Revelation. Don't worry. I'm going to make this kind of fun. So we're going to be in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and today's verse is chapter 4, or verse 4. I'm going to read it. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this month we have been digging into and learning about these emotions that the people we call humans know all too well. We've talked about being afraid and that we don't have to be afraid because we get to have faith and trust in Jesus. We've also talked about anger and how it's actually okay to experience anger. It's how you respond in your anger and what you're angry about that matters. 2 weeks ago, we got to discuss the fact that Jesus experiences all of these emotions. And this week, we're going to turn our attention to a different emotion, one that might be a little more difficult to think about and to talk about. Being sad. Because that is a big emotion. But before we go any further, let's pray one more time together. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. It is in your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so loneliness is an epidemic. I use that word extremely intentionally. So there is a group called the Barna Institute, and this group is a leading institution in the United States that focuses on data research and on the presentation of that research. They study society as a whole, as well as church culture. And they published some new findings in December of 2021 that are important for us to know. So I'm going to share them with you. So in Susan Metz's latest book, The Loneliness Epidemic, she talks about some of the research she found while studying loneliness in America. Her findings are shocking and concerning. So she found that on average, 31% of adults in the United States experience loneliness at least once a day. And friends, more than that is shocking information. That's a third of society. More, though, shocking than that is this. Those numbers were calculated using research and statistics from before March 2020. So before we had to all go through social distancing and quarantining and isolation, a third of our population was deeply affected by loneliness. I can only imagine that the next time the research is published, that number will have grown astronomically. humans are living through an epidemic of loneliness. And Jesus himself experienced loneliness. If you look at Mark 14, we can see it clear as day. You see, Jesus in Mark 14, he is about to go to the cross and die and then be resurrected. He's about to experience the greatest pain imaginable. And because he is all-knowing, he knows what's coming. So in verse 32 of Mark 14, he gathers some of his disciples, the three that he is most comfortable with, and they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is a scene that is played out through the Gospels. In Matthew, it's written a little differently, so I'm going to read part of Matthew. Jesus says to the disciples, "Stay here and keep watch with me." Jesus went to the three disciples he was the most comfortable with, the disciples that he had the closest relationships with, the ones he trusted the most. In the midst of being in pain, he looks at the disciples and he says, "Don't leave me. Not here. Not now." How very human to turn to the people who you're closest with and ask them not to leave you alone. Jesus, in all of his humanity, knows loneliness just like we do. It's something that we have in common with him. Even the King of Kings longed to be in community. And that honestly explains his frustration a couple verses down when he finds the disciples asleep. All he wanted was to not be alone in that moment. And what did they do but leave him alone when they fell asleep? Now, when you experience loneliness, an emotion that comes probably quickly after for some of us is being sad. And in the Gospels, in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see Jesus in the very pits of grief. Matthew 26, verse 38 and 39 say this. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My God, if this is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Now in Matthew, when Jesus uses the word soul, that is a sign to the disciples. It's actually a callback to earlier in Matthew in chapter 10 when Jesus is teaching the disciples about dying. You see, when the body dies, the body and the soul are separated, only to be connected again at the time of the resurrection. Right now, in this verse, Jesus knows that death is coming and that the death that he was about to be hit with would be a complete, full human death. His soul, his most authentic self, is deep in grief to the point of death. Jesus is sad. But this isn't the first time that Jesus experiences sadness. In fact, over and over in the Gospels, we get to see him sad. Now, Amanda, she spoke truth earlier. But in case you didn't hear her, I'm going to repeat it. The shortest verse in the entirety of the Bible is two words. And I heard it over here. Say it out loud. Jesus wept. Now, for the most part, we humans don't like to cry. In fact, depending on where you live, how you grew up, how you were raised, you may not cry. That may just not be an emotion that you do. From a very early age, we are taught whether it is okay to cry or whether we should do that in private. And I'm right there with you. I don't cry in front of someone unless I am extremely comfortable with them, unless I trust them, because I'm going to tell you guys a secret. I am an ugly crier. It's not pretty. My face gets blotchy. My eyes get red. If I'm wearing makeup, then it's down my cheeks. And I heard some giggles, so I know that I'm not alone. I'm not the only ugly crier in here. But that's not the only reason that we don't like to cry in front of people. You see, we don't like to show people our sad emotions. Because to do so means to be vulnerable. And being vulnerable is an authentic thing to do, but it's a very hard thing to do. But I'm going to break down any misconceptions on sadness. Can I tell you guys something? Sadness is normal. I'm going to say that one more time. And let it sink in. Sadness, being sad, is normal. In fact, experiencing grief is a normal response because we live in a very broken world. Sorrow is simply a response to sin. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we see Jesus cry in the scriptures. He looks around and he sees the brokenness around him and he cries. Another time in the Gospels where Jesus cries is when he is seeing other people suffer. Now, you know the videos on social media. I will be the first to admit that the videos of family reunions after someone in the military comes home and they're crying, the family who is reunited with their dog and everyone's crying, those will get me crying. Because it's hard to see someone else cry. This happens to Jesus too. When Lazarus dies and Jesus goes and he sees Mary and Martha crying, he cries with them. This is when he weeps. We do the same things. Because to see another person immersed in sorrow can bring out those same emotions. We see this happen not just with Jesus, but also later on in Romans when Paul sees his brothers and sisters in Christ weeping and crying, well, then Paul too begins to suffer. We don't like to cry around people. But I think we're supposed to. It's part of what being in a relationship with someone is about. Because to cry, remember, is to be vulnerable. And that is what we are called to do as believers. To be vulnerable in authentic relationships. We see Jesus do this time and time again. He cries with Mary and Martha over Lazarus. He doesn't run or hide his tears. He cries in front of them. He doesn't care if he has a blotchy face. He doesn't care if he's an ugly crier. He grieves and he shares his emotions with his friends. It's important to remember that sadness does not have the final say. That's what we have to remember, quite frankly. In a very broken world, in a world where we experience loneliness and grief, we have to remember that the worst thing is never the last thing. Jesus wept over Lazarus's dead body, knowing that he would be raised. Jesus wept in the garden, knowing that eventually he would be resurrected. Jesus wept knowing that the sorrow and the grief that he was experiencing would not be the end because it was temporary. Because he remembered a promise from God. A promise that is given to us in Revelation. A promise that was finalized when Jesus died on the cross. I'm going to read today's scripture again because we've been hopping around in the Gospels. So Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 says this. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Y'all, that is the promise that we get to cling to. It is true that when Jesus wept over Lazarus, when he cried with Mary and Martha, that promise was true. In the garden where he begged for Jesus' cup to be taken from him, that promise was there. When Paul is arrested and imprisoned in Rome, that promise is what sustains him. And friends, it can sustain you too. In the midst of the great sorrow of whatever it is you're going through, whether you're experiencing loneliness, whether or not you are grieving the loss of a loved one, whether or not you are suffering through walking through change right now, comes a beacon of hope found in the promise gifted to us in Revelation. That the worst thing that we experience here is never the last thing because the story isn't over until we are reunited with Jesus. So when sin and brokenness abound in this world, wreaking havoc on our lives, this is the promise that we cling to. That one day the old order of things will pass away. The pain that we experience today is not our future. So the next time you get sad, and to be sure, there will be a next time, you can remember that it's temporary. That the grief that you are walking through does not have the final say. Remember that sadness is normal and that you don't grieve in vain. And you don't have to grieve alone. That's our call as believers. To walk with one another. To walk with the people that you spoke to just a couple of minutes ago. In laughter and in happiness, but also in times of sorrow and grief. We were made to live in community, just as Jesus did. He surrounded himself with people when he laughed and when he ate, and he surrounded himself with people when he cried out to God. There's a popular worship song, and I'm going to read some of the lyrics to end our time together today. You stay the same through the ages. Love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy is coming. And joy, well, that's something that we're going to talk about next week. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for normalizing sadness for us. That the worst thing in our lives that we experience is never the last thing. That you have given us a community to walk with one another in the midst of happy times and in the midst of sad times. God, we know that in Jesus' humanity we see ourselves. We pray that this week, as we go throughout our lives, that you would continue to reveal to us the ways that we can in turn be more and more like Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.